Was it Wrath of Khan?
Yes!
Well, it was the best of those movies.
Your work on anti-electron collisions is unparalleled. And I'm a huge fan of the way you lose control, turn into an enormous green rage monster.
Thanks.
Offer me money.
Yes. Power to promise me that all that I have and more. Please. Offer me everything I ask for. Anything you want.
I want my father back, you son of a bitch.
Montucky Skies.
Hey, welcome to Montucky Skies. I'm Biggs.
I'm Zac Efron.
I'm Jan.
And I'm Adrian.
Jan is my mom. Is it okay if I call you Jan for the intro?
Yes, that's fine.
Jan's also my mother-in-law, not you, because that would be weird.
That's true.
But my mother-in-law's name is also Jan. Not also Jan, just Jan. Does this feel awkward already? Son of a bitch. We're now the zoo crew. So Adrian's back. I'm excited.
Yeah.
So's he. Sorry. He's into it.
So what have you been up to, Adrian?
Horrible stuff. I've just been real sick and working and yeah, just that.
I got some pliers and some ibuprofen. I might be able to help.
You know, it's like the pliers are probably going to get used at some point. The ibuprofen thing has made me think of... Do you mind if I just start from the beginning?
That's okay, but I was just going to say at least it was ibuprofen and not a blowtorch.
This is very true.
Well, I don't need a blowtorch because my pliers are actually part of a Leatherman tool, so I got all sorts of accessories in there I can work with if I need them.
You could go to Marcellus Wallace at the drop of a hat. You don't have to collect anything.
I've got a file in there if I need to smooth out the edges.
We could go in your backyard and hook directly up to the gas line and he can make us dinner.
But you do need the blowtorch to sterilize the pliers.
Oh, I keep them sterile. I have an old cup of hand sanitizer that I bought in 2004, and I just leave them in there every night.
Oh, okay.
I was waiting for you to say that you had like you went to a barber shop that went out of business, and you bought the blue juice. And
no, that's where I bought my working chair.
By the way, this isn't evident on the podcast because obviously it's audio, but like my chair is about 3 inches shorter than anybody else's. So even though I'm the second tallest person in this room by a lot, like I am by far the hobbit looking one right now.
If anything, my chair has made me more handsome and charming, so I'm feeling pretty great. I don't know about you guys.
And I'm tall now, which I've never...
All right, Adrian, break it down for
us. So
what I thought. Okay, I know you're gonna bring us down.
No, I'm not gonna bring
you
down.
No, you are. Okay, you are. And you know what? It's justified. It's totally justified. So we're gonna bring this in. All right, go
ahead. Okay, for like the last two and a half years, I've been having issues with my stomach. Just not all the time, but every 2 months or say somewhere around there, 6 weeks, 4 or 8 weeks, I have a really bad issue with my stomach, and it lasts for about 3 weeks. And lately it had been getting to the point where I'd be at work and it felt like knives were stabbing out of my stomach, and then it would go up my chest and out of my chest, and like I dropped to a knee. Like I just couldn't hang it anymore. I was like, oh. And so, because I work at a hospital, the nurses saw me the last 2 times, and they made me go to the urgent care both those last times. The last time I went, the doctor, they took labs and everything, but they're very upfront there. They're like, we're urgent care. You know, the scope of what we do is not what you're looking for, you know. I'm going to tell you your cholesterol's fine, and I'm going to tell you that your blood pressure, you're not diabetic. That's what I'm going to tell you.
All your bones look all
right. Right. And then because of my family history, the doctor recommended that I go get an MRI done, which I didn't do. I was just kind of like, I'm not going to do that. You know, I'll blow it off. But then I got sick again, and my wife made me call my general practitioner guy, and I went to his office and told him what was going on. And, you know, he did some stuff like, he tested the pulse in my feet. So apparently that means I don't
How do you do that?
He feels your ankles and he feels the heartbeat. Yeah. And if you have a good pulse in your feet, it means you don't have heart problems.
Right.
So I don't have heart problems, which was a check off the old list. He did something. He's pushing on my stomach and my guts and stuff and asked me if I feel pain here. And
how much do you trust this doctor?
No.
He's like, are you a great big fat person?
He said he needed to be nude at the time too. So he tells me that because of my family history, and my family history is someone in every generation on my mother's side dies of cancer. And the people in my mother's side of the family generally die in their mid-50s. My mom died of stomach cancer when she was 53. Her brother, my uncle, just died last year at 56 of... he was a diabetic and he had heart complications. And her father died of a brain tumor at the age of 59 or something like that. So... That's freaking Amy out. So that's why she made me go to the doctor. She's concerned about the people who die young in my family. So
no, she's concerned about you.
Well, you know, she's concerned about me because of those people.
The thing I love about this story is he's so sick that he's falling to his knees at work and he has to have his wife prod him to go to the doctor.
No, listen, I'm with you, man. That's how you're supposed to go to the doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't choose to go. Do I look like a millionaire? I don't choose to go to a doctor.
That's how a man goes to the doctor. Especially when you work in a hospital.
Yeah, surrounded by doctors.
If I'm still awake, I'm fine.
Well, it's like someone said, and let me be honest,
even though you work in a hospital, you're surrounded by doctors. If your wife wasn't a nurse, you wouldn't be
This is very true. Someone at work said, you should have just asked like Dr. Whoever, you know, when you saw him in the hallway. I'm like, I don't want to be that guy. Just who's like, by the way, doctor. Doc, my elbow kind of hurts if I do this.
Pushing a
gun. Yeah, he's like, hey, let me just throw you in an MRI. It's on the house.
They're sprinting down the hallway with the gurney, yelling things like stat. And you're like, oh, wait, can I just have a second of your time?
No, he'd rather pass out in the hospital.
So he tells me... to pacify me, basically, and my wife. He's going to have me get an upper GI. And so I make that appointment to with the upper GI. And you guys ever had an upper GI?
No, but my relatives have. So I've been through the prep a lot of times.
Yeah, it's like you don't eat for like 12 hours, and then you have to drink all this crap.
I'm not down
and
with
they
that.
They put this radioactive stuff
barium,
in.
Yeah. And it's an X-ray, but it's real life.
I've prepped... about five people for them.
It's like a real life moving X-ray. You can watch your insides working when they're doing it.
Not down with that either.
So I'm sitting there and I don't like personally know people at the hospital, a lot of them, but I know them. They know who I am. I know who they are. I see them all the time. We might not be like, hey, Chuck, and hey, you know, Bill, but we're always like, hey, how's it going? Have a good day, you know, type of acquaintances at work. But they all know me. They recognize me. They know what I do and all this kind of stuff. So it was kind of uncomfortable because I'm laying on this table with people who I work with every day who are doing this stuff. And so I'm sitting there, laying there, and this is perfect timing. I'm laying there thinking, okay, what's, you know, this is, I wish, I'm really hungry because I haven't been able to eat since like 8 o'clock the night before. And I'm laying there and I'm finally starting to relax a little bit, you know, and the radiologist goes, uh-oh. And I'm like, oh, crap. You're killing me, doc.
What you gotta hear.
Yeah, you're killing me over here. And I'm like, what's going on? He goes, well, there's a valve. Well, this is the funny part. There's a sphincter valve.
It's funny because sphincters are also in other places.
Yes. And, there's a valve that goes from my stomach to my intestines that is not opening.
Ooh.
And the reason it's not opening is because there's a growth in my stomach that is covering it. They don't know what that is.
Do you eat a lot of mushrooms?
No,
I don't. I'm hoping it's moss.
I heard about this guy who ate a lot of mushrooms and they cut him up and he had a bunch of mushrooms.
Do you swallow your gum?
No.
Because maybe it's all just hanging out in there.
No, I don't. I don't chew gum. But
well, I don't know.
Well, that's the problem. You got to chew it first.
We literally hit the only urban myths that I can think of that this could be. So I don't know, dude. Well, it's a good thing you went to a doctor.
Well, you know, the mushroom thing. I actually know somebody that raised mushrooms and ended up with them in his lungs.
Yeah, me too. It's this guy I knew from Canada. You don't know him.
I have a girlfriend. She's from Canada. Yeah. You'll never meet her. So
you also have a wife, dude. That's messed up. She's just trying to like make sure that you're healthy. You're gallivanting around with some Canadian woman.
It's all for the healthcare system. So there is something, a mass in my stomach that's causing the secondary problem, which is causing that sphincter bowel to stay clenched. And so because of that, instead of, he's like, the barium that's in your stomach, you should be watching it flow out of your stomach like a river into your intestines and stuff.
I don't like that.
And so instead of that, it's clenched. So it's like putting your finger, your thumb over a garden hose. It's squirting. It should come out like, to say the a bigger round is your thumb. It's coming out like at a coffee stir type of a stream. And it's all backed up stomach acid and old food that hasn't been digested because it stays in my stomach for too long.
I got your solution. Are you familiar with Drano?
So,
are you trying to get him to die?
No, Drano helps. If it can clear a drain, it can clear a sphincter.
So the secondary,
both of them probably.
The secondary problem is because that stomach acid is being shot through that little tiny opening. It's eaten away the walls of my small intestine outside of my stomach. So my doctor, he got concerned. They also thought that I had my gallbladder removed. And I was like, no, I have never had any surgeries whatsoever. I have a gallbladder, and they couldn't see it. So there was something blocking the view of the gallbladder. So I go back to my doctor. He gets the results. He's like, okay. And I was there. They told me what they saw. I know it's humming, you know. He's like, okay, so what I think the next step is we need to set up a scope. And I'm like, okay. But I told him, I was like, you know, from this point on, I'm not going to do anything at the local hospital here. I won't say the name because I don't want to get fired. I was like, I'm going to run everything through Bozeman for now on, just because of, I'll get into that in a minute. So I had to get a scope, and I'm a little nervous as it is going in with this information that I have, you know, especially with my family history and what's going on and stuff like that. So the people from Bozeman call me and they said, hey, we're the Bozeman Clinic and we're going to do your scope. And they called for us to set up an appointment. And our earliest appointment is going to be June 25th. And I was like, well, that's as early as you can get me in. And they were very adamant. Like, we're packed. And that's the first opening that we have.
You know, if I were writing a serial killer movie, this would be the premise. Like, a guy, he's trying to find out what's inside of him. And so he finds out he's like 18th on the list of appointments. So one by one, he's taking out the people in front of him on the list.
So I cannot concentrate with that going on.
What, goodbye horses is distracting?
So I get the appointment for June 25th. That's the absolute earliest that we can get you in. We're sorry, but that's just, we can't do anything about it. It's as early as it can be. So I'm like, okay, if that's as early as it can be, that's it. And then I get a call from them about an hour later. And apparently my doctor has called them and told them that I cannot wait. There's just no way. It has to be done as soon as possible. So it got moved to Thursday.
Ooh, that's scary.
That is scary. Yeah, I had a lot of people telling me, well, that's a great doctor. You know, he really went in there and got it for you. I'm like, yeah, you know, yikes. I have to have this. I mean, it's that big of a deal.
Yeah, like ideally what you want is it moved up like 3/4 of the way.
Right.
Because that means like they want you in there, but it's not that pressing.
Right. So the clinic who's going to do the scope required because of the family history and what's been seen so far and all this kind of stuff, they required that I get a CAT scan before I get the scope. So I went on Monday and drank three more bottles of that barium stuff and got into the CAT scan machine, and they took a picture of my insides. And Amy wanted to come with me. She had to stay out because she's pregnant and it's radiation and stuff. So, but every time they turn off the machine, she's in the room next to me holding my hand. Amy's freaking out right now. Like she, I mean, even as we speak, she's freaking out. And so I'm asking questions, but I know these people. I know they're just techs. They're not doctors. They don't read the pictures. They just take the pictures and hand them over. And so the one tech who's actually in the room with me is doing a really good job, very upbeat and smiling the whole time and everything. And the only thing she told me was, she goes, "Well, I can tell you, I saw part of your gallbladder, so I know it's there." I'm like, "Well, I knew it was there. I just want to make sure you can see it. I mean, that's what I'm worried about." And I sit up on the table and I look over, and behind the glass, the radioactive glass was...
The fuck was that?
Yeah, did you guys hear that too? It's a whistle?
It's like an FBI thing almost.
Oh, God. Does the NSA know about this?
Anyways, behind the...
Thank God I use pseudonyms every episode.
You're not really Zac Efron?
Well, he left.
I feel betrayed.
He had other commitments. He felt bad he didn't interview him. He's very prissy. He's a prima donna, so he got out of here.
Who am I going to get for High School the Musical?
Well, me. I'm his understudy. That's why I'm here.
Oh, that's why you changed your name to Zac.
Uh-huh. From Brokeback. Non-traditional first name. Non-traditional first name.
The but behind the protective radioactive glass thing that they sit behind, there is another tech who I recognize from the hospital a lot. And I look over at her and she gives me this look, and I'll do it for you, then I'll try to describe it, but I can only do it first, so give me 3 seconds and that's the look. She gives me the whole, and I'm like, "Oh crap, you're killing me." I mean, just don't even look at me.
You
look away.
You can't read that. Like, that's half "oh no" and half "good work."
Yeah.
Yes. I thought you were doing the "good work" symbol, like "good job" for that X-ray.
But it's like tight lips. Kind of, you get the...
Yeah, it was kind of like, "Oh yeah, huh." You know, my gosh. So,
well, with the sound, I understand better.
Yeah, yeah. But I was doing it because I couldn't hear anything. I could only see, and it was like a sad look in her eye.
Oh no!
And I'm like, "Oh crap." So, we leave. I'm having to keep my bosses kind of informed about what's going on, because depending on what happens, who knows if I'm going to be gone for a couple of weeks or whatever, you know? So luckily I work at the hospital. My boss's office is right there. I can just go and talk to them. And they said that this is Monday. They said that my doctor would have the results no later than Wednesday. So Wednesday at like 10, I call my doctor and I'm like, "Hey, my name is Adrian Harrison and I am Dr. Blank and Blank's patient. I have some CAT scan results that are supposed to come in and I wanted to get the results if I could." And they're like, "Well, let me check." They're like, "Yep, they're right here. I'm looking at them. But the doctor's not in today and he's not going to be back till Friday." And I'm like, "So the results, you're looking at my results, and you can't do anything with them until Friday?" And she's like, "Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know how to read them."
And she's like, "As far as I can tell, this is a TV and a microscope and a dog. Like, I got no idea what's going on here."
I can add a little bit of drop a little knowledge on you on this thing, because in my caregiving field, like, there have been times where I've had to get the notes, like, just to have for record, which, like, is a fucking giant packet that's like about an inch thick of like the most mundane shit. Sometimes they admit you in a hospital, it's like the thickest thing, and you read that shit and it's like reading a fucking Senate bill.
Well, no,
like, you know what I mean, like, it's shit that doesn't even make sense.
This was just a picture,
right? Okay.
And so I kind of really nicely did not lose my calm or get mad or anything like that. I was just kind of pressuring her, "Please, can you do something?" So she actually went, she goes, "Let me give you a call back." So she called me back like 15 minutes later and she goes, "I actually went to the other doctor in the practice and she came over and looked at it. And she didn't want to say anything because I'm not her patient.
And she probably isn't familiar with what they're exactly.
And, yeah. What she did say was that she saw some thickening in the walls of my colon. So, okay. So we get on the computer or our phone.
This is already a mistake.
Yeah. So we start doing
Never
all this stuff.
Never look it up.
Yeah.
So be honest, if you came across a positive result for thickening of colon, you're skipping over it.
And here's the thing.
Cancer.
Anytime you're looking at something for symptoms, like your best case scenario is still not that good.
Well,
because nobody ever Googles symptoms and finds out, oh, it means I'm going to win the lottery in a week.
Okay, well, it gets better. So we start doing that, but then we stop doing it because we don't want to freak ourselves out anymore. And
by the way, that is what you're supposed to do, is not Google shit when you're looking at medical stuff. They say that's like the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
Especially with all the misinformation.
Yeah. Well,
you could go to a site like Mayo Clinic site.
That's where I went. Yeah.
WebMD is not a real doctor. Like, it's not Dr. John Webb, MD.
DrOz.com.
He's a crackpot. Rotten Tomatoes.
I watched that show, The Doctors. Does that count? They said, okay, so here's the deal. That doctor said this. We need to get you in here as soon as you can on Friday. And I worked Friday, but I was like, this is all taking precedent. I'll take Friday off. I'll go in and I'll clean the OR, and then I'll just leave and go to this appointment and keep the rest of it.
You're still like, I'll go and clean.
I'll
like,
take work
the
off.
Thing that takes an hour. And
I'm going to take work off after I do some of my work.
Guys, they need me to come in for an hour. I'm just saying.
Hour 15 tops.
And so I go to the appointment, and the doctor, he's really so nonchalant. And this gets into a whole nother segment of this, but he tells me he's looking at the picture and he's reading what the radiologist, and the radiologist is a professional doctor, is what he does. He takes these pictures and reads them. He knows what he's looking at. So on the radiologist notes, he's written down that he sees many masses throughout my digestive system. Things that are, they were very careful not to use the word tumor, but there are many masses throughout my colon, into my stomach, all this kind of stuff that's going on. So they're growths again. They're there. And that the radiologist suggests that there are three tests that he says that I need to take to clarify and verify, even if it's to say that it's nothing, or to say, hey, it is something, we got it early enough, or whatever. So my doctor reads me this, and I'm like, oh. My foot starts tapping real fast and everything. And he's reading it. He's like, well, the radiologist says they found groups of masses throughout your system. They want you to take these three tests. I don't believe him. He's like, I don't think he knows what he's talking about. I'm like, you don't think the radiologist knows what he's talking about? He's like, no, I think they just want your money for some more tests. And I'm like, he's trying to make it sound like he's being cool. You know, like, I'm going to save you the cash, you know. And not, but I'm like, no, this is kind of a serious deal.
Is this your regular doctor or the new one that you went to?
Okay, so I don't really have a regular doctor.
Okay.
4 years ago, I was out at my parents' place and I got kicked in the nuts by a goat. And I got an infection in one of my testicles, and it blew up like the size of a baseball.
And it created these masses in his colon.
No. And I didn't know what was going on, and I couldn't go to work anymore because every time I'd move, it was just all. Oh. So I went to this doctor because he got.
I am utterly shocked that this story never hit the podcast.
No kidding.
Anyways, I called several doctors and they couldn't get me in fast enough. Okay. I called this doctor 4 years ago. He got me in. That was the last time I saw an actual doctor. So I was like, well, he has my records already. He's already has some sort of a relationship with me. Yeah. I'm just going to go back to this guy. But I'm being told left and right now that he is not a good doctor.
Right? Yeah, I think I'd go to somebody else.
Yeah.
Because when you're dealing with possible cancer, you don't mess around.
There's a difference between like the serious doctors and the nut stuff doctors. And those two things are separate.
Hold on just a second.
Okay, so where was I at? Oh, he's telling me that I don't have to do anything, whatever. And he goes, plus we have the scope set up for Thursday. The scope is going to tell us a lot. He goes, if we go get the scope and they see something, then yeah, we'll handle it. But I don't think it's going to show anything and all this kind of stuff, you know. And so I'm like, okay. I let him say what he has to say, and I leave the office. And I leave the office and go home, and Amy's waiting for me. And only thing I heard, really, I mean, I heard the whole thing, but the one thing I keep remembering is that the radiologist saw many masses throughout my system that shouldn't be there. That's what I'm hearing. And so I'm freaking out. Being around my kids right now is so hard. It's like I love them to death and everything, you know, and I want to be around them, but it's like... And having one on the way, but like I said, I'm going to Bozeman on Thursday for the scope. However, I talked to a doctor at my work because I kind of know them, and they're asking me how's it going, and they're like, I would pack a bag just in case. I'm like, just in case what? He goes, you never know. He goes, if they find something that. You never know. They might suggest that you go get admitted to the hospital while you're there. And that way you're ready to do it. Excuse me. And so I have that all on my mind right now. But I went yesterday as at work. I was talking to a nurse there and I was telling her what happened to the doctor. And she said, who is your doctor? And I told her. And she's like, I'm like, oh, what's going on now? And she's like, my dad died of colon cancer. And someone else in her family did too, like an uncle or a grandfather or something like that, great uncle or something. And she goes, well, my dad died of colon cancer. I made an appointment with this doctor and said, do you think I need to have a colonoscopy? This runs in my family. I'm getting to that age.
Yes, definitely.
And, yeah. And the doctor told her, oh, you don't need that. I don't think you need to have that.
Oh.
So that nurse told me that she left that office after the visit, never went back, and made an appointment with another doctor and goes to that doctor now. Because it was just ridiculous that it wouldn't.
If you have family history like that, like my mom had a problem with it, so I had to start having them at 50, and I've had... precancerous ones, so.
Well,
I am a big proponent of people getting colonoscopies because you absolutely have no symptoms.
Right. Well, and see what I was and the.
I get the, one just because I like right, the way it feels.
The radiologist also in his report said that you know that it was throughout my system, so an endoscopy, which is what I'm going to get, will go into your stomach and into the small intestine, the lower or the small intestine, somewhat. But it's not, they don't have anything long enough to go all the way through.
Yeah.
So if they found stuff throughout my system, I'm going to probably need a colonoscopy. And the radiologist suggested that I get one. And he was like, I'm not going to suggest you get one of those right now. You know, he's like, we'll let the scope happen. And if they think they need to do more, they can do more. And I'm like, well, I just thought it was funny. I kept referring to it as being like a rotisserie chicken because I'd get it done at the same time. I was trying to get them done at the same time. And so right now, what I know is definitely I have a problem with that valve in my stomach. That is said and done. That's what it is. What they're going to do on Thursday is they're going to stick that camera down in there, and they're going to look around, and they're going to biopsy everything that they see. And... from working at the hospital and working when I very first started working at the hospital, working in that department at this hospital that does that same thing, I know that you'll find out a lot of stuff immediately afterwards. They can tell you a lot of what's going on, whatever. But you have to wait biopsy stuff. You have to wait for pathology and all that kind of stuff. It could be a week or two. But I'm hoping to find out some answers. This is totally horrible, but this is what I think is going to come of this. I think my family history is horrible for this. But I also think I'm a year away from being 40 still. So I have a good jump on the scary ages that are coming up. So I think that they are going to find something. And a lot of this is preparing for the worst. So that if I'm prepared for the worst, anything else I can
you
handle.
You literally wrote on Facebook that you were preparing for the worst. You said that. You said I'm going to prepare for the worst and then work from there.
No. What I said was
you're going to believe the worst diagnosis or something like that.
After the 29th on Thursday, I'll have four doctors' diagnoses. I'll have my general practitioner. I'll have the radiologist. I'll have the doctor who read my radiology report the first time when the doctor wasn't there, and I'll have this gastroenterologist opinion on what it is.
And if right you guys now, were wondering, because I cut out on the podcast, the doctor recommended that he not like go to the radio or do the stuff that the radiologist wanted. Dr. Doom. He has a horrible bedside manner, and his hands are really cold when he's up your colon.
But right now, I just try, mostly because I don't know. It's just the first time I've been in a situation that's kind of dire. So all I do is like play out how things could happen, different ways that things could end up happening. And I have a radiologist telling me that there's something wrong. I have a doctor telling me that they see something. And so that's two against the doctor who says nothing about anything. So I have two doctors' opinions versus one. Okay. What I'm hoping, though, what I think is that either they're going to find something that's precursor type
hopefully.
Of stuff. Right. Or if they do find something, it's... I have this feeling that they're not going to say, oh, your body's full of tumors. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think that they might say, yeah, you have cancer. You have cancerous lesions or whatever they are here, here, and here. But if we go in, we can cut this out and these out, and we can put you on radiation and chemo for a while and take care of it. That's not bugging me at all. I'm totally down to do that. The part that's scary is... And this doctor that we don't like now.
Dr. Doom.
He kept telling me, well, do you have a problem with acid reflux? And I was like, no, I don't really. And
he's like, you will now.
Well, no, he was heartburn or anything. I'm like, it's like, no, the only chest pain I have is like when I have the stomach issues, you know, and I have pain there all the time and it shoots out. And he's like, oh. And he said, that sounds like acid reflux. And I told him, I said, here's the deal. And this is why my wife and my dad and myself actually do not want to go to the hospital that I work at for any of this stuff. My mother was told she had acid reflux for 3 years. And that whole time it was stomach cancer. And when they finally diagnosed her with cancer, she had 5 months and she was dead. They opened her up. Like they diagnosed her on a Christmas. They opened her up in January to cut some of the tumors out, and they couldn't even see the organs. So I don't want that happening. So I think I'm getting my foot in the door. I think this is going to be really scary. I think that something's going to happen. I don't think I'm going to die. I don't think I'm going to lose my hair or anything like that. But you know, if I feel healthy enough to put up a fight. I don't feel like, you know.
Can I tell you what I think?
What?
I think that I love you, but you always brace for the worst. And I understand it because it's a really scary situation. But you don't even know. Like, even with what they've said, nobody said cancer yet. there's other things. I don't know what, because I'm not a doctor.
Inside
and I'm not
zits.
Saying there's not, like, you could. It totally could happen. But I think in a way in your mind, you've already convinced yourself that it's, like, the worst that it could be, which is, like, cancer, right? I mean, that's pretty much the hammer right there.
Well, I mean, a misshapen mole on your neck is cancer. I mean, cancer, just because the word cancer is used doesn't mean catastrophic.
You know what I mean, though.
Hopefully, it could be a stage one or
Yeah. I think...
Or even it could all be benign, too.
It's true. And I think that if it was something like stage three, they would have said after that first test, whoa. You know, we're wheeling you to a hospital room right now. I think that it's a scary, scary situation for me right now, but I think...
Which is understandable.
Yeah,
but I'm saying...
I think I'm hitting it at the right time. Like, I think this is inevitable just because of
history.
Right? Yeah. I think it's inevitable, but I think I have to thank Amy, my wife, because I wouldn't have gone to the doctor.
Yeah.
And she made me go, and I'm going to get it taken care of early. The only thing that... Like, my mom died at the hospital I work at, and my dad was unimpressed by their oncology department. Amy, my wife, is unimpressed with the entire hospital. And her dad just got over leukemia. I said over like it was the cold or something like that. his leukemia is acting up.
He took some vitamin C. He was fine.
But at Bozeman, and... apparently they're affiliated with Seattle University, Seattle Hospital or something like that. And they're like rated way high in the nation for oncology and stuff like that.
Yeah, you should definitely go to one of the higher rated places for oncology.
Yeah.
And don't mess around with the local.
No. So I just think it's like a wake up call. The thing that is scary to me is like, some of the things that are, one of the things that's really, I have pain. Like I go home from work because I can't do this today. I just can't do it. It's just like, oh, and I gave me a painkiller, but the painkiller hurts my stomach. Like when it's dissolving, I guess, or something like that. It's like, it just makes me feel like crap. And it dulls the pain. It doesn't take it away. And it just makes me feel bad. But I just feel totally, totally exhausted all the time. And Amy's dad's like, well, then, you know, it's a good thing you're getting checked out, because that was one of his symptoms, was he's just tired all the time. He didn't know why. Amy's brother, my brother-in-law, he was tired all the time and he couldn't figure it out. And it's because he had lymphoma. And so that's one thing. I keep putting together all these things in my head, too. They're like positive things, you know. It's like I'm staying away from the hospital that my mom died in. So that's a good thing. Because I was telling Amy, I was like, with all the fucking luck I have, they'll put me in her room. You know, I'd be like, no, that ain't happening. I have to clean that room all the time.
I'm not going
to
say, at least you'll know it's clean.
But I'm not going to have that. But... Amy's dad survived cancer, and her brother had to get a stem cell transplant, but he survived lymphoma. And so I have those two good jujus on my side. And it's more like at first I was terrified. I mean, terrified. I mean, it's like terrified. And then I started getting more like, not complacent about it. That's not even close to being a word that could be used with this. But now I'm just like really interested to see exactly what does happen, how they do things. Brandon hooked me up with a really good thought. I just keep thinking gamma rays now. This could be it. This could be my shot. You know, I could come out of this with something. You never know.
I'm not sure whether to play the Hulk theme now or not, because it's appropriate, but I don't want to bring it back down.
It'd have to be a up-tempo Hulk.
Do-do-do-do.
That's all I got.
Okay, that's good.
I got the Wilhelm scream.
But I keep looking. I'm like, I'll be like, you know, that's kind of cool, you know, that I'll actually have like radiation inside of me. Stuff, you know, that'd be kind of cool.
I mean, it gives you better odds of getting superpowers. Yeah.
And then I remember, I think about that. And like I said, I'm not someone who's going to be like, I have cancer, I'm going to die. I'm not going to do that. It's just like, it's hard to build up. It's a buildup that's crazy, not knowing, you know. I totally feel like if it is, I'm going to kick its ass. But this is
what I want you to do. Every time that you start to feel scared, I want you to listen to this song.
Do, do, okay? Do.
No.
I was like, that's kind of the wrong message you sent to me.
And
yeah.
And I want you to start thinking about somebody sexy.
Like Alyssa Milano.
That's right.
Or Michael Fassbender.
Hopefully he'll make you smile for at least a minute.
Or, who was that? The daughter at the NBA draft?
Oh, Mallory something.
She was the
Mallory
of the Bucks.
Mallory Evans.
Yeah.
Edens or whatever. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You know she's 18, right?
That's fun. I was 18 once.
I'm sorry, but I need to recue it one more time. Did you guys see the draft lottery last year?
Uh-uh.
Oh, my God. Mikhail Prokhorov's wife?
Prokhorov, yeah.
Oh,
she was fine, dude.
And then Larry Bird.
No.
Oh, yeah. Larry Bird.
Not because he's a guy, just because Larry Bird, I mean, is creepy looking.
He is not.
He is now.
Let me put it this way.
He has a peanut butter
nose.
He's
hickish looking. When he had a mustache in the 80s, he was creepy looking.
Because he has no lip.
Well, he also sort of, like, his face sort of looks like a foot, but like a really handsome foot.
Oh.
You fucking Boston fans, dude.
No, it was. Oh, this is hilarious. I shouldn't say this in front of your mom, but you're talking about 18-year-old girls. Somebody was
no, 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 no,
no, no, no, no.
You
no.
were talking right, about 18-year-old right, right, right. girls.
Well, I didn't know she was 18.
I was talking about Russian mistress.
I didn't know she was 18. But we were talking about this at work the other day, and they said, "Isn't your wife younger than you?" I'm like, "Yeah, she's 6 years younger than me." And they're like, "Whoa,
dude, you need to be careful with that. You're giving away the age, and you're giving away on the podcast.
Oh,
somebody could reverse engineer that and get back to your wife."
I just did, like, right now.
My wife is 33 years old. She does not care about that.
But my wife would, like, fucking castrate me if I revealed her age.
I said that's nothing. I was like, doesn't that make you feel like good? And I'm like, well, yeah, it does. I said, except for now. I forget about it because she's clearly on a maturity level. She's way above me. You know, I was like, I forget about how young she is. I was like, but what's the best part is you have to remember, when I married her, she was only 24. Oh, yeah. But
that's
then,
creepy,
but
dude.
Then
I'm not
I was like,
the music
and they're like,
that.
So then they were like, so you like the young girls? And I was like, no. I was like, before that, I had a girlfriend who was 6 years older than me.
Yeah.
And I say, like, she was really cool. And
she
like,
was on.
And
I'm not gonna say.
I said. Do what was interesting was before I moved to Helena, I was 25, and I was just months before I moved here, and I met this girl at the pool hall, and I don't even remember what her name was, but we ended up hooking up a few times and going out playing pool or whatever and stuff, and it turned out she was 18. And she didn't, I didn't know. I wasn't even thinking about it, you know, but then she said it and then I was like, whoa. And
you gotta be careful where this podcast is headed.
And
you are gonna be fired.
Well, I decided that, you know, well, this is kind of cool. I'm 25. I got an 18-year-old girl. This is pretty sweet. And then I realized one very important lesson. There is nothing stupider than an 18-year-old girl.
Yes, there is.
A
17-year-old girl.
Yeah.
I was
no.
like, oh, my gosh.
18-year-old boys are worse. In Boulder, Montana,
that's
anyway.
Everywhere.
I was just like, holy crap. They're like, well, there's a guy at my work now, a new guy. You don't know him, but who is...
He's from Canada. I don't know him.
he's like 28 or something like that, and he's dating an 18-year-old girl. And he's like, don't, he goes.
So this isn't the janitor guy?
No. He's all talking all up like he could do it. I'm like, man, you couldn't even pay me to date an 18-year-old girl. You couldn't pay me to date a 28-year-old girl.
Basically, it's like everybody knows someone who has a lot of stupid opinions, and dating someone that age is like dating someone with only stupid opinions. And I say that I'm not all that far from 18.
When you make a 25-year-old Adrian look well-read...
Like, I've read a cereal box, and that's what reading you've done in the last 3 years.
I read a Sports Illustrated in the waiting room of a barbershop last week.
I read a Highlights.
I love Goofus and Gallant.
I'll take her into a room. Okay, tell me what's missing on this side that's over here.
She's like, I don't have time for this. Where's my phone? I wish I knew she'd already have the phone texting before you even had a chance to say it.
I wish I knew some identical twins so I could like go out and do a man on the street interview where I had people try to tell me the difference between the two. Like one of them has two watches on their left arm.
So, did you watch Walking Dead?
I haven't seen it past the episode where Beth gets kidnapped. That guy who was recording for me got mad at me because I had to come down on him a little bit, and he stopped recording them for me.
Oh, was he coming up with more creepy keys, and you found out what he was locking up and where? Yeah. Hold on a second. Let me get his theme music back up. This is literally the reason why this theme music exists.
Dude, what's crazy is that like I can hear him talking right now, and it matches perfectly with this.
No, just jingle some keys.
Give us the update of this creepy janitor.
Okay, well, apparently we have this woman who works there. I don't want to say her name because...
She's a big old fat girl?
No, she's not. And but she's a very Christian girl. And she's getting married. I think she got married yesterday, as a matter of fact. But before this, she was just engaged. And this guy went into a room to help her clean out an isolation clean room. It was like C. diff. In
there. I don't like the way you say isolation.
Isolation. Yeah.
Did you warn him that you don't need ropes to clean things?
Well, apparently he's in the room with her and he's talking to her, and out of nowhere he says, man, you got a really nice ass. And she was like, what?
By the way, always what you want to hear from a janitor when you're at a hospital.
And so she went and reported into our boss, and something came of that. But anyways, and he has this...
The real tragedy is you don't have Walking Dead.
yeah, basically. Exactly. Basically. And he was doing them, pretty religiously for me. You know, I have all the way through Beth being kidnapped. And but I've heard the rest of it's awesome.
Hold on a second. Yeah, I just told Adrian that I admire his eyes.
I like to imagine this janitor guy, when he leaves... You know how Batman doesn't walk away, he's just gone? I like to imagine this janitor is similar, but there's just a little bit of fog that comes up, and you hear...
This is the... No. That's far too sophisticated.
He brought a key ring with 90 keys on it to a janitor job.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's his house key.
The analogy I use for this is...
Is there keys to nothing? He has put a bunch of blanks and put them on a...
The analogy...
battery's got some torture room somewhere. Yeah,
all I'm saying is the most popular phrase in his house is, it puts the lotion on the skin and does what it's told.
The analogy I always use is, if you move into an apartment building that already has security cameras, that's fine. But if you live in a building that has to get security cameras, there's a problem. But similarly, if you have a janitor and you give him a big ring and he slowly builds up janitor keys, that's fine. But if you hire a janitor and he already has the ring full of keys, that's a problem.
This is the part that's going to kill you guys too. I know it.
I don't like how you use kill with this janitor.
Red room. And he is a very
That's my scary
noise. If he didn't have this weird mental affect, is how I describe it, you know? It's like this weird thing. He is like a hardcore comic book guy. And Game of Thrones and Walking Dead and all that kind of...
Careful.
Almost
fan
like
of everything there's you
a,
just
there's,
said.
There's the thing. There's your guys' end of that.
And then when you add like a giant ring of keys.
That's just too much, man.
There's your guys' end of that, which is the high end. You guys are the Bose of comic book Game of Thrones things, okay? But then there's the low end where they're real introverts who don't do anything but that. They're just sitting in a room and they can't leave their house. And then there's him who should be there, but for some reason has a little bit of confidence enough to walk around the real world.
He's got a little bit of go-get-em in him.
Yeah, and he has like a weird affect to his voice, and I can't... I wish I could like...
We should recap really fast just so people don't know that we're picking on him. Like, let's just do greatest hits of this guy, because he had the podcast that you'll see with the creepy keys hanging up on a string. So, brought an underage girl who he's holding hands with, like interlocked with the hands, walking around talking to people.
It's right? He's introducing her as his daughter, but it's his
hands held, fingers interlaced.
It's his girlfriend's daughter, and he is bringing her. He on his day off, he brought her to work. And
okay, that's all we need to know.
Okay,
creepiness
he has a girlfriend.
Creepiness ensues. What was another creepy thing that he did? I'm just trying
there's
to
a ton of stuff that's creepy that he does. He has no feel for personal space.
Well, I find that positively shocking.
He's a close talker, but not in a fun Seinfeld way. More of like a I'm going to duct tape you and throw you in a van sort of way.
He is what I call an and then some talker, because there's close talkers, and then there's close talkers who and then some. So he'll get right into your face. So he'll get like 6 inches from your face, and he'll start talking to you. Well, not 6 inches. We'll say
it'll like fly on your face.
A foot away
when he
from
talks
you. Like this, if his face is the microphone, he'll get this close to you and talk to you. But he has this weird posture where he can't stand up straight. He leans in at the waist, and so he takes up a good 8 inches of that, and he'll get right in your face, and he'll come up to you while you're at work, and you'll be doing your business in your space, and he has no respect for that, and he'll get right in your face and want you to stop whatever you're doing to deal with that whatever mundane thing he needs to have taken care of. Today, I got a call. I went to work this morning, but I only stayed until 10:30 because I was just wasted. And I'm getting ready to leave, and he calls me, and he goes, "Hey, Adrian." I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "I want you to know that I don't have any linen bags." I said, "Okay.
I've used them all."
"I don't have any linen bags." I was like, "Okay. Did you call down to the laundry and see about getting some?" "I called down there, but they said they're short-staffed." And I said, "Well, that's not really an answer to my question." He went, "What do you want me to say?" I said, "I want you to tell me, did they bring you any linen bags up?" He's like, "No, they didn't." And I said, "Okay, well," and I'm making him sound much more cool.
He sounds a little like Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah. I gotta practice doing his accent, his affect.
I think you should practice that, but do Sylvester Stallone quotes. I think you're far on this show.
He goes, "I don't know what I'm gonna do." I said, "Do what you could do is you could walk." I didn't say your ass, but in my head I said your ass. "You could walk down the laundry and pick up a bag full of linen bags and bring them back up and use them."
"I don't really fuck with stairs."
I wish he sounded like that.
"And the elevator always stinks."
He has like this weird kind of a...
Right, Adrian?
He has this weird kind of a lisp. And he's a heavy breather.
I believe that.
When he eats...
Hold on, let me try this.
Way, but more gravelly than
there's no linen bag.
Oh, it's very similar.
But it's not like linen bang.
He'll when he eats, this is what it sounds like.
Oh, that's what it sounds like when my dog eats too fast.
Because he breathes through his nose the entire time, and he can't keep up with the breath and chewing and swallowing at the same time. So it's like a race between his nose and his mouth to try to get.
Somebody should tell him, like, you can break the chewing and swallowing down into separate steps.
And he sweats all the time. He's a sweat.
Again, I'd be more shocked if you said he had no sweat glands.
And which is funny because his skin reminds me of. What's his face?
From like an Goonies, uncooked ham.
From the yes, like
sloth,
like Blaster from Beyond Thunderdome.
He's not a Goonies.
I know, but you know, Sloth is kind of like Blaster's cousin. but what happened was recently he had gotten in trouble because he calls off a lot, and he'd gotten in trouble because. Frankly, I have nurses coming to me and telling me I don't want him working on my floor. He's creepy and he creeps out the patients and I don't want him here. But I can't do nothing about that. I have to have somebody working.
Do you have, I think we covered all that
crap. But here was a good one. So
I could fill out a comment card for you.
he goes
That still kills me.
My boss tells him, okay, here's the deal. You're on disciplinary action. You cannot miss 2 days in the next year or we're going to let you go. And so the next day he calls off.
I got two. So
and my boss says, what's wrong? He's like, well, I have a snowbank.
Oh, dude, we talked about this too.
This is another one. I got a snowbank. I have a snowbank. I can't get out. And so my boss, the director of our department, I mean, he's the administration, got in his car and went to his house and picked him up and brought him to work. He did that 3 times because he couldn't get to work or his car broke down or his girlfriend took the car so she could go to work. He went and got him 3 times and finally told him, hey, here's the deal. I'm not doing that anymore. You have to, you are going to be expected to keep your end of the deal. And so he decided he was going to tell them that he can no longer work Saturdays because he got another job that's only on Saturday. And I'm like, you're going to turn down 40 hours a week so you can work one day for 3 hours that day cleaning someone's house? And anyways.
I'm just prepping. I'm casing the joint.
Well, then he got mad. He got mad because they're short in his hours. And so they said, hey, I can give you hours, definitely. If you want them, I'll give them to you.
Do you know how expensive chains are?
So they gave him night shift. They gave him some night shift hours as a vacuum tech, vacuuming floors.
Guess what they do?
They vacuum.
They and, suck.
So the first night, it's around 12:30 in the morning. And the director of our department gets a text message from this guy telling him he has two more. He can miss two more. The first one he misses is a 3-day suspension. The second one, he's gone. He texted the director of our department. He would rather take the 3-day suspension than work the nights anymore. So he won't be coming into the nights tomorrow night.
I'm going to try to do a dramatic reading.
Hey, I have new plans at night, and
he so totally sounds anymore. Nothing like that.
I like it. Don't stop it. I don't care.
Sounds like he'll walk in. He'll go.
It fits the image you've painted.
He'll go. Hey, Adrian, how did the weekend go? Did it go according to your plan and swimmingly?
Because my plan.
Not even that kind of high. He'll be like, well, my better half, or my worst half, I should say. He's like Ed Grimley. Ed Grimley. Like Ed Grimley and that mixed together. Ed Grimley and the Silence of the Lambs. Martin Short and whatever that guy's name is from there.
Ted Levine.
Yeah.
Buffalo Bill. By the way, I hate to cut this into pop culture. That's a pop culture podcast. I watched the season finale of Hannibal the other night. Holy fuck.
Was.
Did you see it? Are you caught up? Or did you just see that?
Got caught up.
Okay. I enjoyed the hell out of it. No way they're following the books anymore.
Nope, they there's are their no own story.
They
now.
Have like burst apart Red Dragon, and yep. there's no way they can like follow that
they
story.
They are their
anymore.
Own story now.
Yeah.
Which I am 100% cool with.
No, I'm totally fine with it because it's its own entity. Also, something I read, they have the rights to all the books except for Silence of the Lambs.
Yep, because the Lifetime show has Silence of the Lambs.
But they're totally working on it. And nice. The guy has said if they can't get the rights to Clarice, mm-hmm. they're just going to make up a character exactly Good. Like her. He literally Good. Said that.
Yeah.
So her name will be Charisse, I guess. Charisse Tarling.
Do you know what? Only thing, because I have like hardly any television. I just get the regular channels. Like I got to see like two games of the playoffs so far. Because everything's on TNT or ESPN.
Yeah. Yeah.
There wasn't any ABC games this week.
I mean, I saw them because of my broadband pass that I bought for the Blazers. Apparently, it covers every single playoff game, but you have to wait until 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Montana time.
Well, luckily, all...
And then they have the regular games, and they have condensed ones. They condense them to, like, 15 to 25-minute games.
Luckily, the finals are all on ABC.
No timeouts, huh?
Basically, there's almost no replays. If there's a really spectacular play, they'll like replay it twice. But what they do is they cut to the fun offensive plays and really like amazing defensive plays.
That might
it has
be
to
worth,
be like a cool block shot or something.
That might be worth not, staying up all right, for.
If you're a big basketball fan, it's a horrible way to watch. If you're like, I want to know who wins, but I don't.
You want to have more time. You want like emphasized highlights. Emphasized highlights.
If you want to fake your way, like, yeah, I totally saw that game. This is a great way to do it because you'll remember you'll see every
all
single
the big
highlight.
Moments.
Yeah. Anyway, so I kind of dig that, but I'll be honest, now that this always happens to me, when the Blazers like bow out of the playoffs, it takes me a round before I can get interested again.
Me too. I have to wait till the finals.
Yeah, I need that mourning period. I saw this Final Four last year. This is the exact same one that was last year. So.
I'm just hoping it ends up different this year because I hate Miami. I just don't want to see them do anything. I want to see Indiana beat the hell out of them. And I would love to see Oklahoma come back and do that. Would be wild if they came back and won.
You want to hear fucked up? The only team I like out of the four is the Pacers, and yet I really want Miami to three-peat because I want people to not talk about the last three-peat team was the Lakers.
Oh, hey, I'm down with that.
Because that goes away when they talk about the Heat going to four straight finals and winning three of them. That shit goes away with the Lakers being on three and winning three. Like
the
that,
Lakers should never be mentioned again.
I just hate...
Unless
hate
it's Lakers in tragic bus rollover. No one dead. Everybody concussed real hard, though.
Even Byron Scott.
I'm fine with the team that they're rolling with right now. Keep putting them out.
Yeah, that's right. Let's just keep that team forever.
No, it's okay, dude. We have Fredo. They have Fredo as a GM now. Like they got all right. So Jerry, little inside baseball, but Jerry Buss was the owner of the Lakers, like the one who won every single championship. Like as owner, he gave it to his incompetent idiot son. His name is George W. Buss. And George W. Buss has been running the Lakers into the ground. He was the one that decided it was like a good idea to bring Dwight Howard to LA. He was the one that decided it was a great idea to absolutely not do a sign and trade for Dwight Howard, like make him go somewhere else that he got nothing for him if he left. He was the one that decided to sign Kobe for the largest contract in NBA history when he's coming off a torn Achilles. He's an idiot.
Well,
I mean, I am loving the way the Lakers are looking for the future.
Isn't Phil Jackson his son-in-law or future son-in-law? He should
give it to
Phil Jackson.
Phil Jackson is his brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law.
Who is now the general manager of the Knicks because they had no place for him at
and
the Lakers.
And where did Kerr decide to go coach?
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. George
Talk
W.
About
Buss.
Stupid moves.
George W. Buss.
And Steve Kerr said no to the Knicks, and where is he going?
What's that?
Steve Kerr.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't heard officially that he's going anywhere.
No, but you know, somebody picked him up, but I can't.
Yeah, someone hired him.
I can't think of who
it was.
Golden State.
I know that they were looking at him, but so they did hire him.
Yeah, they did, because I saw it in the paper. It was official.
I'm going to call it right now, and I'm sorry, Greg, because Craig's a Golden State fan. Kerr's going to be terrible. I'm just calling it right now. They make this mistake every goddamn year or every other year. This is what happens. Somebody gets on TV and they're an analyst for a few years, and they're usually either a failed coach or they're a guy who's never coached before. And they hear them talking about plays that have already happened on the screen in front of them and drawing out exactly how that happened. And then NBA general managers and owners see those guys on TV and they're like, hey, he knows what he's talking about, breaking down this play that already happened. Mm-hmm. And then they think that that translates to being a coach, you know, motivating players, helping shape which players are supposed to go to the team, getting your players exercise, drawing up plays
that have not happened
to
yet.
Plays to people. They think that, like, breaking down what already happened on TV is conducive to being a coach, which it's not. It's nothing against Steve Kerr, because he's been a general manager, and I thought he was a decent general manager for the Suns. But, like, he's got no coaching experience, and I don't think it's going to end well. Like, I'm just calling it out right now.
Yeah, you should have gone out as an assistant somewhere.
I mean, that would be the wiser move, is spend a few years as an assistant coach, but not for him. He's going to make millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Right. True. We should have a few salted away anyway from his playing days.
And his analyst days. And his GM days.
You know, he was a
He said analyst.
I know.
Okay.
I remember him very well.
Yeah. For one
Three
season.
3 points.
He's a Blazer for one season.
That's okay. That's when I was totally obsessed. I know a lot about him.
What was the other talking about pop culture? Oh, I've been doing a lot of talk about comics, but I've been doing a lot of comic reading.
Nice.
Yeah. I went and kind of delved back into some of I went to
Superior Foes of Spider-Man.
No, I will.
I gotta push.
I have a. I've been. I went to. I went to Hastings, and I went to the graphic novel section, and they had a bunch of used Punisher books that I bought and read through, and I've decided Rucco.
Yeah, Greg Rucco. He always
is awesome.
You know why there's all the used Punisher books? Did you hear about the new Punisher movie?
No.
They got a new Punisher movie. You know who's playing Punisher?
Who?
This is gonna make you sick, dude. Zac Efron.
Shut up. You're lying.
Yeah, totally lying.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
None of that was true that I just said.
The
You know who would make a great Punisher?
Zac
Frank
Efron.
Grillo.
Oh. Who's that?
He was in Captain America. He was Crossbones in Captain America 2. He was in The Gray with Liam Neeson.
He's got half of the name already, so I'm down.
Yeah. Have you seen, you know the movie The Purge?
Yeah.
The sequel that's coming out. He's essentially playing the Punisher in that movie.
Oh, that's a good take. That's a good way to go with that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. But I've been reading a bunch of stuff, Punisher stuff. There's some stuff I'm learning about that I want to find and read that I haven't read before.
Have you managed to track down any of the Garth Ennis stuff?
What stories are they?
He did all the Punisher Max run.
Let me think of the one I have. The last one I read was River of Blood.
You would know because it would say Punisher Max right on the
cover. I don't have any of those.
If you can track them down, they're really good. They're not. I like Rucka's better, but most people swear by Ennis as the best Punisher writer.
And A River of Blood. Have you ever read that?
Mm-hmm.
I was actually really cool. It's kind of means something now with the whole Russia thing going on now.
Yeah.
And it's all in Russian. But the one that I find that I didn't like so much was the one where I like the artwork in it, because there's a thing on the back for World War Frank, and it's just a cool looking photo of him going against the Hulk, and but it's a story about the Rhino and the Hunter. I could not
Raven the Hunter.
Yeah, I did not like that at all.
You.
Sorry. Go ahead.
That's right. I just didn't like that at all. And I understand that they're part of the Sinister Six. Is that right?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Okay. Yeah, it
depends.
That does not
depends
sound good.
Depends on whether Kraven the Hunter's dead or not.
That doesn't sound good to me at all.
By the way, Mom, I wanted you to tell you this because I was talking about this the other day. So I don't think you knew how mature the comic books I was reading when I was a kid was.
I probably didn't.
There was one Spider-Man book that I got that you didn't even look twice. You're just like, it's Spider-Man. It was a story where he faces this villain named Kraven the Hunter. I only bring this up because I had this memory of it when we were talking
about. Just make me cringe.
No, I'm just telling you. So, and this is why I always make Amanda, I tell her over and over again, they can read anything up there as long as you look at it first. She's like, it's comic book. I'm like, no, trust me. She's like, it's Spider-Man. I'm like, no, trust me. Okay. So this is what I read. I was like 8 years old. Are you ready?
Oh, no.
Okay. This guy, Kraven the Hunter, like, thinks he kills Spider-Man, buries him alive, goes out, pretends like he's Spider-Man, kills a bunch of people in Spider-Man's uniform, then decides he has nothing to live for, puts a shotgun up to his head, kills himself.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Yep.
You let me buy all 6 issues of that over the course of 6 months.
Well, you know, when I used to read comic books when I was a kid, it was like Archie Veronica, you know?
No, I'm not criticizing you as a parent. It's just because I've grown up with comics. Like, I know better. They started to gear them towards adults when I was kids.
Yeah. I remember really, you know, filtering everything that you could watch and stuff, and then you'd see it at a friend's house, you'd see it at your dad's house. It didn't matter what I did.
Do you know what else I used to do? I've also talked about this on the podcast.
I know you snuck up and watched stuff too.
Well, I used to set the VCR to record stuff at like 3 a.m.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then I would like grab the tape before you got up in the morning and hide it. I was devious.
The Spider-Man thing.
You were.
I got into Spider-Man kind of only recently due to, he has a team up. I think I talked to you guys about this before, a team up with Punisher and Daredevil. But it's the Spider-Man you were talking about where
Doc
Ock.
With Dr. Octopus is in his head.
Which I really don't care for that so much.
It's done.
And,
it's done now.
Okay.
It's back to normal.
But the thing I don't like about this team up is that the Punisher has one of the Green Goblin's gliders with a Punisher skull on it. I didn't like that at all. I thought that was really cheesy. I've decided that, in my opinion, now there's a lot of great Punisher stuff out there, but in my opinion, I don't know if it's the best, but right up there was those last four issues they did before this new Punisher came out.
Yeah.
With the Avengers going after him.
Yeah.
Man, that was good. So good. I'm going to buy
that. If you thought the glider was cheesy, there's a great...
Are you going to talk about the jet ski again?
No, sure, I'm not. Even better. There's a great run, Rick Remender did a run, that ends with Frank Castle being dismembered. He revisits it in a 5-issue miniseries. Franken Castle, the Frankenstein Punisher.
Yeah, I saw that in Hastings in the back issues,
no,
too.
You should read it. It's basically the comedy version of the Punisher. It's hysterical.
I'll have to try that. The other? I'm going to buy copies. I read the comics. I had them. I don't have them anymore, but Deadpool Kills Marvel Universe. That was a really good read. And I picked up this one just because it was hardback. And it was $3.
Mm-hmm.
But I like Submariner anyways. It's a really good Marvel Knights.
Yeah.
Submariner book in there. I'm only like halfway through it because I only read it when I have time. But I like it when they set. It's set in the 50s.
Yeah.
And it's really, really cool. I like the way that they portray Namor in there, you know. I forgot, like when I was a kid, like one of the very first comics I ever got was Submariner. And I just, you know, I just remember that because it was the first one I ever got.
I feel like he was a really cool character. Spider-Man from the start.
He was a cool character.
Mine was X-Men.
Okay, I got a question, Mom. You said that like comics were a certain way when you were a kid. So what comics did you ever read? You had to have read something.
I don't remember.
Do you remember anything? Did you read?
I don't remember because I didn't like
Donald Duck comics or stuff like that.
When I was really little, but I mean, I started reading adult books when I was like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
So okay. I didn't really spend a lot of time reading comic books. I was reading things like Little Women. I was actually reading Russian classics when I was 10, 11.
All right, that's nowhere.
Okay. Tune in tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.